From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the amazing story of light beings and orbs. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. A senior North Korean official has made a very rare visit to the United States for talks about a possible summit between the leaders of the two countries, but the sides still appear far apart on the central issue of North Korea and their nuclear weapons. U.S. Marines in Afghanistan, yes, they're still there, killed dozens of Taliban leaders last week using rocket artillery after tracking them to a meeting in a very volatile province. U.S. forces in Afghanistan said more than 50 Taliban commanders, including the deputy Taliban shadow governor, was killed. Taliban leaders from six other provinces across Afghanistan were killed as well in the strike in a district close by. In Florida, cell phone video released by the Broward State Attorney's Office shows that Nicholas Cruz, talking of his impending attack on the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were killed in February. He's 19 years old. The video was chilling.
Hello. My name is Nick, and I'm going to be the next school shooter of 2018. My goal is at least 20 people with an AR-15 and a couple tracer rounds. I think I can do a good time. Location is Stone Douglas in Parkland, Florida. It's going to be a big event. And when you see me on the news, you all know who I am. You're all going to die. Pew, 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 pew. Can't wait.
Unbelievable. What's wrong with that kid? In a moment, Charles Simone joins us. We'll be talking about the school shootings and antidepressants as well. A panic alarm is being added as a safety feature now to every U.S. Uber rider's app, which will call 911. It's one of the several safety features being added to the app. Uber is adding additional features, including this panic button, to help stop assaults and harassment by the drivers. The ride-sharing company has been facing accusations of sex crimes from its users directed at its drivers for years. Roseanne Barr made it clear she's considering fighting ABC's move to cancel her revival after her tweet. And the comment even pushed an accusation that the former First Lady Michelle Obama was behind her ouster, despite initially saying she would be quitting Twitter after posting a negative and racially charged comment about the former Obama aide. The star returned and let loose on social media. As a matter of fact, she went into a meltdown on Twitter overnight as she retweeted a stream of abusive, controversial, and doctored material after her show was canceled. The star of America's Top Show also last night blamed Ambien, the sleeping pill, for her remarks. Dr. Peter Breggin's with us right now. Peter, I don't understand that. How can you blame the sleeping pill for the remarks, or does she have something here?
Well, listen, if we can correlate the violence in the schools where people go and murder a dozen or more other human beings, we can certainly, I think, imagine disinhibitions from Ambien, which is notorious for causing bizarre, out-of-character.
Really?
Just notorious for it. Yeah, there are warnings in the full prescribing information, the FDA-approved information. There's warnings in the guide. People sleepwalk. They sleep talk. They sleep talk on the telephone. They sleep drive. There are many lawsuits against the manufacturer of Ambien. I've not been involved in any of them, but lots of those. And there's no doubt that Ambien could certainly contribute to almost any kind of behavior. The New York Times says, well, no, it couldn't contribute to something as complex as tweeting. Well, it's notoriously does things like phone calls and driving and cooking complete meals at night when you're not awake, and then eating them as well. So, and this is admitted by the manufacturer, although it denies that it can cause, quote, racism. It says on its own website that it causes disinhibition. So I think there's something there. And Hey, George, can I comment on the I'd never heard that the piece that you had.
Yeah, it's brand new. We just got it today. Alex Jones sent it to me and from InfoWars. Go ahead, but go ahead, comment on that.
Well, the tone is hypomanic. The tone is this superficial. He's laughing. He's completely lacking in empathy or any sense of consequences for himself, other than he expects to be famous, completely lacking in consequences for other human beings.
Did he sound whacked out to you?
He sounded hypomanic, like somebody on drugs would be the most common cause of that. I can't say that he was on drugs. Some people can get themselves in that kind of condition without being on drugs, but 90% of the time, it's some sort of either an antidepressant or a stimulant drug that's doing that to someone.
All right, back to Roseanne Barr for a second. Is she justified to say that her behavior could be blamed on Ambien?
I think she could be justified in saying that, hey, this is a contributing factor to my behavior. I have no idea about her personally. I really don't know much about her at all.
I understand.
People can do awful and bizarre and deadly things on Ambien and call it a cause, call it a contributing factor. Yes, the drugs influence people to behave that way, and at 2 a.m. in the morning is a very likely time as the drug is perhaps beginning to wear off and people go into a kind of a twilight state that they can't be in reality or out of reality, and then all of a sudden they're doing these kind of automatic behaviors, and they're not necessarily related to the person's unconscious wishes or desires. You see people doing terrible things on drugs all the time,
yeah.
So much worse than Roseanne. Did they murder children? They kill their families?
Dr. Bregan's website is his name, BREGGIN.com. Peter, thank you so much. In a moment, Dr. Charles Simone joins us to talk about some of these school shootings and some other cases, by the way. Turns out that Kim Jong-un might be as big of a fast food fan as President Trump, according to a new U.S. intelligence assessment. While the North Korean leader is no longer willing to give up his nuke weapons, he may open up a Western hamburger franchise as a show of goodwill. My gosh. Virgin Galactic's newest space plane has taken to the skies. The suborbital Spaceship Two vehicle, known as the VSS Unity, completed its second-ever powered test flight, soaring high over California's Mojave Desert. Our science advisor and space historian Robert Zimmerman with us. Another success story, Robert.
What we have here is an interesting case of capitalism in space, and maybe a negative story. Virgin Galactic has been trying to create a suborbital tourist spaceship now for more than almost 14 years. And in that time, they've yet to get their Spaceship to, this is the second one, into space. This test flight is its second powered flight. They got up pretty high and they got to almost Mach 2, but they were nowhere near getting to the space demarcation line of 67 miles,
right,
or maybe 50 miles, depending on who you talk to. Meanwhile, in those 14 years, Blue Origin, a company that is financed by Jeff Bezos of Amazon, they've already flown their suborbital capsule, New Shepard, several times. They've built two of them. The first one flew five times, and they retired it after, as a prototype.
How could they be so far ahead? I mean, the technology's not that secret, is it?
No, it's not. What has happened with Virgin Galactic is they tried for something very radical and different, and it has given them problems. One of the things that's made they've gone for is using hybrid fuels for their rocket. These are things like nitrous oxide. They're much safer to use, therefore much cheaper. They're environmentally more friendly. They're not toxic, but they are not proven, and they're giving them a lot of problems. On my website, Behind the Black, I've got a video that Virgin Galactic posted of this test flight, and if you watch it, you can see that the spaceship, during the 30 seconds the engine's flying, is kind of moving about like it's being a little bit out of control, or at least the pilots are really working hard to keep it under control, because these hybrid engines, the fuels are very uneven. It's very hard to keep a smooth flow. And so they've had a problem with that. That's one of the reasons they have taken so long. And so meanwhile, Blue Origin is moving ahead, and they hope to fly people in space before the end of this year. It's going to be very interesting to see which company sells its first tourist ticket in the coming, like, say, 2 years. We'll see what happens.
Robert's website, BehindTheBlack.com. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate you being on the program. Up next, Dr. Charles Simone joins us. We're going to talk about antidepressant medications and how they affect people. I do have to say I've gotten an email in from somebody who is in favor of these antidepressant medications and says, please mention that to the doctor when you talk to him. Well, we will. We'll bring it up and get his reaction to that, too. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Dr. Charles Simone back with us, his book, How to Save Yourself from a Terrorist Attack. He's one of the few individuals in the world with formal training in medical oncology, radiation oncology, and immunology, with an expertise in nutrition, cancer detection and prevention. And as one of the first physicians to champion integrative medicine, he combines effective conventional and alternative modalities together, which I really appreciate. Dr. Charles, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Did you have a chance as you were on hold to hear that clip of Nicholas Cruz, the shooter down there in Florida?
Yeah, very, very chilling. Unbelievable.
Was it your impression, can you tell by just that tape that he might have been on drugs or not?
It sounds like he was, but I can't know that for sure. I'm sure there are data about that. I'm sure it's known to the FBI or other investigative agencies if he has been. And that's the kind of information that should come out to the public every time one of these shootings occur. Has the shooter been on or is currently on any of these psychotropic drugs that actually induce violence? And that's been shown to be true.
Absolutely. Let's talk about these antidepressants. First of all, what are they, doctor?
Well, these are drugs that were designed to treat almost 25% of the world's diseases known as depression. The FDA has approved the use of antidepressants mainly for something called major depressive disorder. But they are widely prescribed off-label, inappropriately for mild and moderate depression. So these drugs are not used properly. They're used for everyone and everything that has any kind of psychiatric disorder, and largely withheld from this medical community and the public is that antidepressants can induce violent behavior. In fact, 90% of all school shootings, the school shooter, as I said, were either on these drugs or had taken these psychotropic drugs that can be shown to induce violence. And the data are known to the FDA. The FDA has known this because all these disorder changes, all these adverse reactions have to be reported to the FDA. And that's been shown over and over again for years, and the FDA has known this.
Now, I did get an email from somebody who says, you should have somebody on who is in favor of antidepressant drugs. And, of course, in fairness, there are some people who probably swear by these drugs. Do they work for some people, in your opinion?
Well, apparently, according to the data, no. The data shows, submitted to the FDA, the antidepressants are ineffective in children and in teenagers, and the age there is between 9 and 18. Now, they're not approved for those ages at all, but they're not even effective during those age periods. And even in the most severe cases of depression, for which they are actually approved, they were not effective compared to placebo. Now, how do we know this? Many large meta-analysis studies. Meta-analysis means the investigators look at hundreds of studies and compare salient features of each study to make them common. Published reports claim that positive results, even though negative trials were either left unpublished or were distorted to present positive results. So the average benefit of these drugs was very small when they looked at these studies, while the published literature suggests much larger benefits. Now, these are published in good journals, New England Journal of Medicine, and many others like it.
Are there lots of thoughts of suicide by people who are taking these drugs?
That's probably the most common problem that we see, suicidal ideation and suicidal actually attempts. So we see this a lot using antidepressant medications.
And can suicide also be created to a point where they figure they're not going to kill themselves directly. Let's let the police shoot me when I'm in the act of doing something heinous and horrendous.
Well, you heard that Cruz fellow talk like that. In fact, in these studies, suicidal thinking was passed off as emotional lability or worsening depression. They would never use, the studies never used the words suicidal thinking. So that information was buried deeply in appendices that were available for only half of the trials. And the FDA never requested the rest of the appendices. And the trials, for the trials that examined mild to moderate depression, neither a doctor nor the patient noticed any change at all. So these issues of suicidal ideation were buried, mislabeled, and misleading wording, and never seen by the FDA, nor did the FDA ask for this information.
Why not? Are they getting bought off by Big Pharma?
Well, Big Pharma, this is a $300 billion a year business.
Jeez.
$300 billion a year. You think about it.
It's a lot of money, Charles.
Lots of money every day.
Now, given the fact that most of the medical data shows that the antidepressants are not effective, why does Big Pharma continue to promote it when they know it might not work, regardless of the money? I mean, look what happened to the tobacco companies eventually. They got caught.
Can
the same thing happen to Big Pharma? But isn't there legislation that protects these pharmaceutical companies?
There is. In fact, when you think about one of the quotes from Jonathan Emord, who's been on your show.
Yes.
He says, the financial interest of the psychiatric industry is to feed this drug industry. And the drug industry's financial interest is to come up with the agents to feed the psychiatric industry. The psychiatric industry then is endlessly engaged in identifying new disorders, which can then be treated with psychiatric drugs. Now, psychiatric drugs are the primary drugs that are consumed in America. And that sums up the whole problem, I think.
Why do psychiatrists willingly prescribe these drugs? Is it an easy fix for them, or do they think it is?
Well, it's their major weapon in their armamentarium. One of the doctors has quoted this, child and adolescent psychiatry as an established medical specialization risks permanent extinction, since most of its pharmaceutical armamentarium prescribed for a variety of common mental conditions proved ineffective or even harmful. So without these drugs, the psychiatry industry has little to do and little to prescribe.
Charles, I can't walk past a homeless person without reaching in my pocket and giving them something. It's not a lot of money, but I just feel obligated, you know, for the grace of God, right? There I go.
Yeah.
To help them. But I have seen countless numbers of homeless people when I'm driving up and down the road here in the LA area by themselves, talking to themselves, waving in the air at nothing. Truly, there's something wrong here. Now, in your opinion, are they on some kind of drugs? Are they inebriated? Do they just have a mental disorder? What are they doing?
Well, there could be substance abuse or a real mental disorder, schizophrenia. It could be almost anything, or lack of proper nutrition.
Or all of the above.
Yeah, all of the above.
I mean, they're yelling at each other, at themselves. I mean, screaming.
Exactly.
And, you know, in some cases, I look, you know, maybe the person's got a cell phone and he's talking to somebody. But that's not the case. They're talking to themselves. And, I mean, what would you do with people like that? What do you do with them?
Well, I think you have to figure out what is wrong with them. Take some blood, analyze them, examine them, try to figure out what the medical conditions are that potentially could be reversible.
I do not believe that we take advertising from Big Pharma for antidepressants, and I'm glad we don't.
Yeah, how many of the media don't even look at this story about antidepressants and the link to these shootings? How many have you heard it? You all always hear about guns. It's these drugs that are involved with 90% of all the school shootings.
How long does somebody have to be on these drugs continuously before they really start to affect people? Let's assume for a moment that Nicholas Cruz was on some kind of pharmaceutical drugs. Let's talk about that when we come back, because that video was not the sound of a normal person. Well, I know where I'm going to on June 9th. I'm going to be in Las Vegas at our live stage show, and I hope you're there too. There's a few seats left for this event, sponsored, of course, with our affiliate KXNT. You can get full information by going to coasttocoastam.com. At the top of the homepage, click events, and it'll open up. It's at the Silverton Casino, by the way, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Number of great guests, meet and greet, live music. I'll even sing a few songs for you if you come out there. And then, of course, August 25th, Asheville, North Carolina, live event there, Diana Wortham Theater. Just go to dwtheater.com, and theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, dwtheater.com. Or, once again, go to coasttocoastam.com and click events at the top of the homepage. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Dr. Charles Simone. We're going to take calls with Dr. Simone next hour. Next hour, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Charles, we were talking about how long do you think somebody has to be on these kinds of drugs before they start acting strange? Any idea?
It's hard to know, but probably a few weeks or more. It takes anywhere from, it's told, it takes anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks for some of these psychoactive drugs to be active, but it could affect anybody in any time length.
Now, generally then, all these kids, if they're on these drugs, they have to be getting them by prescription. I don't think they're getting it on the black market, are they?
No, they're mostly prescription. In fact, we can go through that list that's well known to be those that induce violence.
Okay, go ahead through a few of them for us.
Sure. The key one is Chantix, the one that we know will help smoking cessation. This was the most important drug, 18 times greater than any other drugs combined. The second one is Prozac. Everyone knows about Prozac. Everyone hears about it. In fact, not long ago, I had a young lady, 17 years old, who was prescribed Prozac when all she had was a severe sinus infection.
Jeez.
The doctors missed it. She went to six different doctors, two of them, one a psychologist, one a psychiatrist, and they prescribed Prozac for her. And it wasn't that at all. She shouldn't have been prescribed Prozac. She's under 18. She's only 17. The drug's only approved for those 18 and older. She was prescribed it, started taking it, came to me. We saw it, and she was found to have simply a sinus infection. So these drugs are bandied about a lot for all ages. So Prozac's the number two drug. The number three drug is Paxil, another antidepressant. Next are nine more antidepressants. So altogether, there are 12 antidepressant drugs in this list. Then comes six hypnotics, and then another class that's very, very familiar, the attention deficit disorder drugs, hyperactivity disorder drugs. These include dexedrine, the amphetamines, Adderall, Ritalin. Everyone knows about Ritalin. How many kids on Ritalin in this country? Little kids. They shouldn't be on these drugs at all. Fluvox is another one. Fluvox is used for obsessive compulsive disorder. And then one you heard about earlier in the show, Ambien.
Yep.
That's on the drug list.
Jeez.
Ambien is right up there causing violent behavior and disorder of mentation.
I mean, clearly, could Roseanne Barr have a case here saying, I really didn't mean to do this. I was on Ambien, and, you know, the Ambien made me do it. Is that conceivable?
Well, the Ambien probably did contribute to it, just like your expert talked about. There's no question about that. So these drugs are all problematic. Next is Singulair, another one used for asthma, and that's often prescribed.
Something used for asthma creates suicidal tendencies.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Suicidal, and also, importantly, violent behavior.
And Oxy does, too, you're saying.
Oxy does, too, yes. So the antidepressants lead the pack, no question about it, but these others, the amphetamines, the Ritalins, Fluvox, Ambien, Singulair, Seroquel, Oxycodone are right behind them.
Now,
on this list. Now, this list is composed of 31 prescription psychiatric drugs that we know account for 80% of violence cases.
80%.
And how do we know this? We know this from the FDA Adverse Event Reporting System. So the FDA has this information. In fact, they have issued a black box warning for all these antidepressant drugs because of suicide ideation. The European Medicines Agency has issued similar alerts, but the violent behavior also is part of this whole mix. So we need to really corral these drugs, and even though the FDA allows them on the market, they shouldn't, because the FDA's mission is to protect the public health by ensuring the safety, efficacy, and security of the human drugs. And these drugs are not safe, and they're not effective.
Do we know if Stephen Paddock, that guy who went nuts in Las Vegas and killed 58 people, injured 851 others, do we know if he was on anything?
We don't know that. In fact,
why don't they tell us this?
Much of the information is obscured from the public. I'm sure it's known by the investigators. It's probably easy to find out who's taking prescription medications by looking at pharmacy lists and things like that. But I don't know that about that.
Don't they have a right to tell us this and say, look, we've got 10 cases of mass shootings, and of these 10, 95% of them have been taking these drugs or something like that. Don't they have a right to tell us that?
Well, we know from the public domain that in 90% of all school shootings, the shooters either were on or had taken psychotropic drugs that we know can induce this violence. 90%. That's a big number.
Without the drugs, the same people, would they commit violence?
I can't tell you that, but we do know that these drugs contributed to it. In 90% of the cases, they were part of it.
This is frightening. Now, let me ask you about doctors. They write a prescription. The recipient, the patient, goes to the pharmacy, hands it in, gets their drugs, gets their prescriptions. Does the pharmaceutical company know what doctor or how many of these doctors wrote these prescriptions? What I'm trying to get at is, do the doctors get paid a fee from the pharmacies for the pharmaceutical companies by writing prescriptions?
Well, the pharmaceutical company, Big Pharma, knows exactly what doctor writes for what medication. Exactly. And the playbook is always the same with Big Pharma. They first get published in a journal. Then they hire these so-called thought leader doctors. They pay these doctors to give their own seminars. The seminars are with slides given to these thought leader doctors, paid to hired hands. These slides are given to them by the pharmaceutical company. Then the doctor invites other doctors to listen to these seminars. Those doctors get paid in certain ways, dinners, outings, this and that. Once those doctors hear about the drugs, they're the doctors who are prescribing the medications. So they get those drugs into the pharmacies. The doctors are prescribing the drugs. The thought leader chases this whole situation, and it goes on and on and on. And in fact, many of these doctors are being so-called paid.
Yep.
We could talk about the opioid industry at another time, but this is exactly how three doctors, three brothers, three psychiatrists led the whole opioid industry by doing the same playbook, hiring doctors to tell other doctors to prescribe the medications.
Do they give them trips and cruises and things like that?
That's not allowed anymore, but in the days of the opioid start, that's what was being done all the time.
That's how they marketed their products, isn't it?
Exactly.
Jeez. Okay, how would you, doctor, stop some of these school shootings if you believe these drugs and antidepressants are a significant cause? Just cut out all these drugs, or what would you do?
Well, the first thing, I have a six-point plan of how to stop school shootings. First off is Big Pharma. We know that 90% of all school shootings, the shooters were on these drugs or had just taken them, and they can induce violence. Don't forget, 20% or more Americans take these medications. It's a $300 billion a year
market.
Okay,
well, one more quick question, then we'll get into your 6 points. Of the significant amount of people who get violent on these drugs, what percent do not?
Well, it's known that 80% do, so I guess 20%
don't. So 20% don't. Okay, go ahead with your 6 points.
Well, those drugs that we mentioned, the 31 prescription drugs, I'll just review them again. It's worthwhile to listen again about the Chantix, Prozac, Paxil, then the amphetamines, Adderall, Dexedrine, then the Ritalin story, Fluvox, the Ambien comes up again, Singular, Seroquel, and Oxycodone. Those are the big ones. The drugs also have been shown to be ineffective, as we talked about earlier. And that's important. Not only do they cause problems, but they don't work in many of the studies that were looked at. Point two, we mentioned already that the FDA should remove these drugs because their mission is to protect us. And these drugs aren't safe and they're not effective. And until they're removed, doctors should take it upon themselves not to prescribe them. The third point is to identify the potential shooter. When you look at the final report and findings of the Safe School Initiative by the United States Secret Service and the Department of Education, you can see a profile of the shooter. Usually the event is rarely impulsive, like you heard with the cruise.
Mm-hmm. And had anybody seen that video in the beginning, they could have helped. They could have said, you know, law enforcement, look at this thing. This kid's going to do something.
Exactly right. They start with an idea. Then they formulate a plan, then they find the weapon, then they attack. Most of these kids feel bullied. Many had considered or attempted suicide
mm-hmm.
these drugs. 96% are male, 75% are white. The next key component of this potential shooter identification is other students. In most cases, some students knew about the shooter's plans by way of bragging or social media, just like Cruz.
Well, they just didn't believe him.
Didn't believe it or didn't want to become a rat. So we have to encourage students to share this information immediately to save lives.
Right. And more information's better than less, right?
That's right. But we have to act on it. We generally also don't act on the information. We have to get serious about taking seriously people who make threats, especially those taking psychiatric medications, and we must intervene early. And when we do that, that seems to be much more effective to stop school shootings than fortifying schools with armed officers or enhanced security. That's not as effective as intervening early with people who make threats, especially knowing if they're on these medications. So we need to take seriously these people when they do make these threats.
Let's talk about these bullies for a second. There's so much hate out there. I did something when I was 15 that I was not too proud of, but I'm glad I did it. There was a school bully, and this kid would terrorize every kid who was overweight, every kid that didn't have an outgoing personality, every kid that was a loner. This kid just bullied them and went after them. And I would see this, and I was friends with these kids that he bullied. You know, that was just me. And, you know, one day we were all in swimming class, doctor, and I realized that the bully didn't know how to swim, and he was petrified of the water. Now, the swimming instructor, everybody's in the water. You don't stand there. I don't care if you can't swim. You get in the water. And we were all in the water, and the bully's in the corner kind of shivering like a puppy coming out of cold water. And I had said to myself, I've had enough of this kid and what he's doing to all these other kids, because he really would bully them. And I went up to him, and I could tell he was petrified of the water. And he used to talk to me, and I dunked him under the water, and I held him under there until I saw his eyes panic to the point where, you know, I didn't want to kill the guy.
Yeah.
But I let him up, and I said, you bully anybody again, I won't let you up next time. And I'm 15 years old, and I'm saying this to protect all these other kids, and I never had done anything like this before. And you know what? He stopped bullying kids.
Wonderful.
Instantly.
Wonderful.
Why is there so much hate out there today on the internet, making fun of people, putting them down? Don't these people, I mean, what's wrong with those people?
Low self-esteem, insecurity, poor home life, or the child has been bullied by the parents or other adults. It's more or less learned behavior. So I'm sure the father, the mother bullied the child, or part of it. That's part of it. Or they older brother, older sibling may have done that. So this is all learned behavior probably, and or low self-esteem, insecurity, et cetera.
Now, as a doctor, what would you have said about me at 15 years old doing that to the bully?
I thought it would be admirable.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to take these bullies and seriously put them down.
You have to.
You have to, because this is what happens. And, you know, they in turn become more bullied with other children. So children learn this, and that's what happens. I think that was the right thing. We need to take seriously bullying in our society and not let it happen. We have zero tolerance for it.
I mean, I scared him. I didn't beat him up. I didn't do anything like that, but I scared the living daylights out of him to the point where he stopped.
To the bully and take it to him. Yep. I agree.
You have to do that.
Yeah.
So to do these 6 points, it's not that difficult, is it?
No, it's very easy. Identify these people, take them seriously, identify whether they're on these drugs that influence them adversely. There's a play my cousin William Master Simone wrote called Bang, Bang, You're Dead. It's on the internet, free. He assumed that every school has a would-be shooter, and the play wants that person to see himself and the eventual consequences of the evil fantasy. And after thousands of productions, and even a movie, by the way, which was popular at the time, thousands of people wrote into the website, and 111 people wrote that they wanted to kill some kids and teachers, but that the play changed their minds.
Wow.
Master Simone said that the play purged them of those awful feelings and thus prevented the school shootings, not because of school administrators or law enforcement, but because of the play. So the play also could be a very handy way of exposing and helping to diffuse these situations.
Well, I would show it before every class.
Yeah,
all the time.
There's an hour and a half movie out there that's on YouTube that you can watch as well.
What's it called again?
Bang, Bang, You're Dead.
Bang, Bang, You're Dead. All right, Charles, stay with us. We're going to have a final hour to go with you. We'll take phone calls, questions, stories. Perhaps somebody's gone through an episode that we've been talking about. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.